The sermon, just to ask you this question, and you can answer out loud. How do you communicate with people? Friends, strangers, anybody's welcome. If you throw out strange answers, I will not repeat them for everybody else. So we're keeping our children downstairs today. Yes. Okay. All right, so you show kindness and you love. I realize now I've done it again. I've asked a question, which that's exactly right. That's absolutely right. I was meaning, what methods do you use? And I'll...
Prayer first.
Nope. Well, but how do you talk to someone? I'm looking for the actual activities. I appreciate your heart. I wouldn't doubt either one of those. I'm looking for something less spiritual and more just practical. So you text them. What did you say? I heard an answer over there. I heard talking and I heard texting. Those are the sorts of things. We talk with our mouth. We text. I heard email. Okay. Hi, how are you? Talking, a basic, safe conversation starter, except for that person who answers how are you with maybe too much information. But this is what we do. We're off to a good start. These are the kinds of things I was looking for. We write Facebook messages. We knock on their door if we know them well. We call them up on the telephone. You can write them a letter. You can send them a postcard, right? We have all these ways to get in touch with each other, right? See what I'm going? Face-to-face conversations, digital conversations, telephone conversations. Now, borrowing Rita's early answer that was more right than she realized, how do you pray to God? And there's no wrong answers, so this one's a safer bet. Yes?
I usually pray when I start my day.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you talk to him to start your day, all right.
And I like to begin my day by telling the Lord, I just worship you and praise you. I like to get into praise and worship.
All right.
And then after, it goes into prayer for different things. But just,
so you start with praise and worship.
Yeah. Okay. Lord, thank you for the
so you pray, and you see that change your human relationships. You pray and you worship. Anybody else? Any other ways that you pray, ways that you talk to God? What's that? Meditation. I like that. Good answer. Good answer. Yeah.
Reading the scriptures
daily. Wow. Heard a bunch of things. Like a friend, worship, reading scriptures. Is that what I heard? You talk to him like a friend. That's what you mean? I see. Talk to him like a friend, read the scriptures, and you said worship, I think. Okay. Yeah. All good answers. All good answers. As I tried to answer this question for myself, I thought of pray before I eat, because that was like a traditional thing. I was just sort of told, not that I was doing it before I followed Jesus, but there came a point when I was like, oh, I should pray before I eat. So I pray before I eat. And then somewhere along the way, I saw or noticed other Christians praying on their knees. And I was like, oh, that's like a thing. But that's like another level is how I sort of translated it when I started following Jesus. Like, oh, if you're really praying, then you get down on your knees. And I would see people pray on their faces, or I'd see in the Bible where people pray on their faces. So I learned like posture is part of it. Then I realized you pray in church. I pray by myself. Then along the way, somebody said you should pray like the Lord's Prayer. That should sort of structure and affect how you pray. So like, okay. Then somebody else, probably 10 years in, probably somebody said, you should pray the prayers that you see in the Bible. You repeat those prayers to God on behalf of certain people or certain situations. So I was like, okay. And then I heard this acronym, ACTS. Has anybody heard this? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So adore God, confess sin to God, thank God, and then supplicate or make requests to God. Ask him for the things you need or other people need. And then because I like structure, somewhere along the way I realized like, oh, I'm going to pray with routine just because I like routines. So Monday, I would pray for the same category of requests. Tuesday was my day to pray for family, so whatever was going on, it was like Tuesday, I'm praying for family. Wednesday, I don't remember anymore because I've since moved on from the routine approach, but like Monday was, say, the world, all kinds of things going on in the world. Tuesday was family. Wednesday maybe was the church I went to. Thursday was myself, whatever sorts of things I really... So I made this like routine. These are all solid basic principles. I bet some of you, many of you, practice these kinds of things in one way or another. Not necessarily all of them, but you do things like this. All of them are solid. They have biblical foundations. They're totally great. I continue to do some of these to this day, and I think they're great. But I also realized that every one of those that I was practicing was just the same exact thing done in a slightly different way. So it was like prayer on Monday and prayer on Tuesday and prayer on Wednesday. And some of you have thrown out, like, you mix in worship music. I did not mix in worship music. When I adored, I just said things to God about how great he was, which is totally good. And yet at the same time, I started to realize I'm basically doing the same thing all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time. And I began to get to a point where I felt like I'm not really hearing from God in a personal way. I'm not really talking to God in a personal way. I was going through good motions, biblical motions, legitimate motions. I'm not about to undermine any of them. I still practice them. But I also realized my prayer life's in a little bit of a lull. And if you're a really spontaneous, like free-spirited type, this may not happen to you, but I'm a routines person. And I get into the routine and into the groove, and it's just working for me. And it's part of a great groove. But sometimes I find God saying, hey, have you heard from me in a while? Have you really spoken to me with your heart? At any point, you know, all the things I prayed for are good. You know, there's this war going on, or some big, you know, election, and or this thing, or something in my family. But am I walking with God? You know, I started to compare my experience to what I'd see with Adam and Eve, or with King David, or with Jesus. And so this morning, I want to just walk through a few ways that real people in the Bible navigated prayer. And it's not that what I'm doing was unbiblical or fake. My prayers were genuine. They were just a little routine. And I'm wondering if this resonates with you a little bit, just this sense of the balance between a routine, disciplined prayer life and a prayer life that's maybe not exactly as close to God. I just suggest to you that when I read the Bible, this may not be everything I could think of, but I reflected this week, and I noticed sometimes groups of people are singing while they walk up to Jerusalem. Jewish people would walk up to Jerusalem once a year, and you can read Psalm 121 through 135, I believe. And these were the songs of ascent, or psalms of ascent. Jerusalem was on one of the highest parts of Israel, so pretty much everybody had to go up to get there. So they called them the psalms of ascent. And they would sing this and praise God in this way as they went up toward Jerusalem, where they were going to be, in a sense, connecting with God at the temple and having a particularly holy, particularly wonderful opportunity at the temple. But along the way, they're singing almost the entire way, and they would do this every year as they went up. Then other times I think about are, say, Moses in the desert, where God appears in a burning bush, a form of God appears present in the burning bush, speaking to Moses. It only happened once, but it happened, and that's this moment when God connects with Moses. I think about Joshua. He's on his way leading the people to inherit the promised land through actually living there. And at one point, he sees something like a soldier in front of him, and he says, "Are you for us? Are you against us?" And the being responds to him, "Neither. I'm the captain of the Lord's army." At which point, Joshua responds like anybody else should, logically, in the presence of God, hopefully. And, you know, he falls down and he's humbled and he's worshipful, because he realizes God has showed up in my midst. It only happened once in that exact way, but again, it's outside the norm. Sometimes prayer falls from heaven. I heard that in, I think it was our first song, No One, talked about fire falling from heaven in our song, the first song we sang this morning. Sometimes that happens, like it did with Elijah. We see people praying in robes, having washed their hands to come into the presence of God. And we see Paul and Silas, who were probably pretty dirty, in prison in the middle of the night, singing and praising God while they're in prison in chains, presumably without clean robes and clean hands and so forth. In all these ways, I see people praying in a variety of experiences and in a variety of ways. I want to help you, and I want to have a little bit of fun. I discovered that you can create your own Jeopardy. Did you know about this? You too can create your own Jeopardy. So I did a thing here with, we're going to create our own Jeopardy, but I do need some volunteers. Because you can't have Jeopardy without competitors. Now, I have to say a thing. You really are get to be volunteers. I do have to say a thing, though. If you're like a super competitive person, we need to know that up front, because we're not going to have people sign waivers. So, like, if you tend to resolve things with physical force, please don't play this round of Jeopardy. You can arm wrestle in the backyard later. So, now, the questions, because I can tell you're a little bit tentative about this. The questions are Genesis before the fall. I'm sorry, the categories. Genesis before the fall, Genesis after the fall, other Old Testament, and Jesus. So pretty safe things here. Nothing you haven't heard of before. You know what Genesis is. You know who Jesus is. We're a family. I've already said people who like would fight or be nasty if they lose don't get to play. So this is the chance. If we don't get volunteers, then people are going to have to start guilting somebody into it, which is, oh, you guys. All right, I'm taking control then. I gave you a chance. I gave you a chance. You were too slow. To my left, your right, pay attention closely. These are going to be your teammates. My left, your right, you are team one. Right in front of me, you are team two. And over here, you are team three. It's interesting to notice that team one, this is my help. So team one has like kind of spread out. They're covering this whole section. Team two kind of spread out, your front to back. Team three over here, interestingly enough, you're like, we're not getting anywhere close. I don't know what's in this part of our room, but team three is staying back there. So in the interest of efficiency. All right. I just got invited to be on team three. Hospitality. That's what that's called, by the way, for those of you. You get extra points for hospitality. And I do know all the answers because I created the game. So way to go, team three. You have the, well, they're on a special path over there. So if you don't know how Jeopardy works.
You asked a question.
No, you don't. You choose a category and you choose an amount of points. And some words will appear behind those points. And you have to ask the question that answers the words you see there. So you're going to see words. They are the answer to a question. So you have to put your answer in the form of a question. The look on some of your faces gives me a lot of hope for team three. So I'm just saying, in a spirit of love, I'm feeling really strong. I'm not going to look at team three, but I'm going to just, you know, because that would be unfair to all of you. So we're not secretly checking in with each other. But you're going to choose a category, see an answer, you come up with the question that would lead to the answer. You get points, you win. No matter what, everybody's going to learn something about praising God or pleasing God or proclaiming God. We good? Each team gets to go first. So a team gets to go first. If they get it wrong, then it goes to team three. Because that's what, you know, happened. They're outnumbered. It depends on if you want to win or lose. But I think that's a fabulous question. So, see, right there's somebody trying to build team unity. She actually wants, she recognizes, if we're going to win, we got to talk to each other. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, boy, here we go. Huddle up. This is your 30 seconds to huddle up.
Should we just yell out beep if we want to beep?
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I did not go to the trouble of buzzer, but you could probably pull up a smartphone and make a loud noise. So I'm going to let team one go first because they huddled up over there. It is just those eight. All right. All right. We got the ding.
So team one is going to be first. So you pick a category, pick one.
All right.
Going to the back.
Huddling up in the back. All right, team one is going first. Team one is going to choose a category. Before the fall, 200. Yeah, big money. Big not money. Before the fall, 200. It is not good for man to be alone. Why Eve was created.
Genesis.
All right. That is incorrect. We'll go to team two next.
What is God's statement before making Eve?
That is also incorrect. Our judges know back there. I like the choking symbol. You have to tell us about that. It's much, much easier. And I'm not going to give, I have to at least let team three do one round on their own here. It's much, much easier. I'll give a little bit of clarity. God is talking to a human being. So, right? I mean, he's in himself in a sense. He's talking about people, talking to himself. Do we give? I don't know. We got to give team three a first chance here. I'm the impartial. I know, right? Doesn't mean it'll count for points. It goes back to you no matter what. We can have a daily double. Who said the church was fair, by the way? We love each other, but we're not fair. All right, somebody play that Jeopardy music. It's about time. No. Can we get the answer back there, team? We'll just have to help people out here.
What did they say?
They said, why did God make a companion? Yeah, right. So the point is, God is talking to himself. Yeah, see, I made the answers and I didn't cheat. I just want to say I didn't cheat. I didn't cheat. I didn't give them any clues. Remember, we're talking, what's that? I was told... Really? Because every time I've ever played, it was answers that had to be put in the form of a question. Okay. They've had like a, this is the problem with the generations. They changed Jeopardy on us. I blame Jeopardy. So we'll zone in for a second. I want everybody to know, we're apparently playing the original version of Jeopardy, not the new version of Jeopardy. So there's statements up there. You have to come up with questions up there. I'm very proud, and I love each one of you. Hugs from the front for knowing your Bibles. This is what God said about Adam being alone. Not good for man to be alone. It is what God said. The reason for the question answer being worded the way it was is because we're talking about prayer. So it's not, you were right, but the answer is, how is prayer happening? How's conversation with God happening? So there's an equal clue for all of you. Equal clue for all of you. It's about prayer. This is the prayer Jeopardy. So you should ask questions as answers, because that's how this game works. And prayer should probably be a word that you use, or conversation, or talking to God. I'm using the voice I use when I'm trying to be really obvious. This is my obvious voice. All right. It might as well be Team 2's turn. Sure. Team 2. Jesus for 200. Alone on the mountain at night. The answer is not, what's that?
Jesus
Well, you should talk to your team first. I don't know if they accept your answer. I'm not even sure if they heard your suggestion. Yeah, you guys got to work together. You got to move back there because they're all back there. They're your team. They're your team. That's them. Somebody's got it. All right. They might be overthinking it back there, but I know. Rachel can be your designated spokesperson for the sake of time. Oh, is there a stopwatch? We might need it. What is one of the ways Jesus prayed to his Father? You're getting closer because you used the word prayer in the answer. Thank you. And what? Yeah. Yeah. They're throwing stuff at you for the record. So, all right. Team three. That is the kind of answer that's probably really close. All right. I did not say that. And we're losing, you know, we're losing the flow, so we're going to just accept any interrogative, I think you call it. What is any question word? So your suggestion was, where did Jesus pray? That feels close enough. Where did Jesus pray? I'm going to say that's the same thing with a little when thrown in there. Because they're the first ones to get a point. That's it. All right. And you guys get to continue. You get to keep going. Yeah. Old Testament 200. David dancing in praise. We chose less words for the answer. Should make it easier for some of you. David dancing in praise. She wants to dance like David, but it's not her turn. Although, you can worship the Lord, so don't wait on me. Team three, you have 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2... How did David pray coming into the city? The answer is, what is prayer? It's, how did David pray? Sure. Yeah, that works. Well, yeah, well, we've reached that moment in today's game show where we're not going to go any farther. Someone just said, what is praying in your underwear? Or what is worshiping in your underwear? We are a family church, but we're not going to be that much of a family church. So we're going to stop now. You can keep your seat or you can go back to your seat, but it looks to me like Team 3 probably won. Go Team 3! And I had nothing to do with it. Yes, thank you. Thank you to our facilitators who stepped up as spokespeople. Thank you very much. if you're like me, after hearing all of that, if you want to play this after 11:30, you can, but I won't be here. If you're, actually, you might just want to go to somebody else's house. We're going to lock the door. But yeah, you take this somewhere. You go create your own Jeopardy. You just Google it. You'll find it. If you're like me, after hearing all of that, you're probably frustrated because you feel like, I know the Bible. I had, you know, and but what we were ultimately trying to get at is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Because you see how David can be dancing and he's in conversation. He is praying. He is connecting with God. He's dancing and doing that. And people are sitting there like Adam before Eve is created, and conversation with God is happening among the Trinity, saying it's not good for man to be alone. There's prayer happening between the Trinity, which is wild. And then there's Jesus going up alone on a mountain at night to choose his 12 disciples because it's a significant moment in his life, and he goes up on a mountain and prays there on the mountain. But at other times, he prays in front of groups of people, and he prays beside water, and he prays in a boat, and right? I mean, you can think of all these different places and times and ways. Prayer with crowds, prayer alone, all of these type of things. You might be wondering, how can I enrich and amplify my own prayer life? How can I start to have something that's a richer, more meaningful, more influential prayer life? And I'm putting out these ideas before you because I suggest the answer is seek God in additional ways. Seek God in new ways. Now, I'm not saying new ways as in quit all the other ways. And I'm not saying new ways without any boundaries at all. We'll talk about boundaries in just a second for this sort of thing. But for now, I just want you to hear, if you'd like your prayer life to be enriched and amplified, you may want to add in new ways of seeking and connecting to him. I want you to remember, just in general, the place to start would be to realize that your head could be more involved, your heart could be more involved, your life could be more involved. You could love God more from the heart, from the mind, from the will, with your strength, like Jesus talked about. You could do that more, and it might just help to remember that God speaks in the middle of the night. God speaks when you're alone. God speaks when you're outside. God speaks when you're with people. God speaks when you're volunteering or serving, as we call it. God speaks to people throughout the Bible. And a lot of times it's surprising, and a lot of other times it's expected. And Jesus made prayer an active pursuit. He said to ask and to seek and to knock. So there's effort involved, but there's also different approaches, different ways to pursue him and try to connect with him. Some of you would say, well, reading a book could never be prayer. But there are times when people read a book and they hear from God. There's just something about it engages their mind. Other times people have volunteered and said, I'm just going to hand out bottles of water and or serve in some really practical way, and God meets them there. It seems like that was almost Mother Teresa's experience in a lot of ways. Just somehow she was present with God and connected with God while serving others. So I say to you, how do you pray? And how are you doing in terms of connecting with God? If the tried and true, so to speak, formats are working really well for you, that's obviously reasons why they need to be continued. But it may be that you mix things up a little bit. And the reason that I'm suggesting this to you, and this is only an illustration, it's not that I actually think technology is much of an answer. You know that I often find wonderful things in my in-laws' basement. That's where my kids are today. They're probably not in the basement, although they might be. But the basement of their grandparents is really something special. And that's where this beautiful thing came from. And this is not a prop. This is a real telephone. It's, you know, I can't tell. But I really wish it came with a date. But you can come up here later and hold it and say, I once held a phone like this. This thing is really nice looking, right? It's beautiful, it's wonderful and all that, but all you can do is make a phone call with it, right? It does have the alphanumeric keypad here, but contrary to what you can do with this, you're not texting anybody from this beauty. You're not going to send email. It looks good, but all it would have done, if you could plug in the cable into the phone jack, all you're going to do is make phone calls with this beautiful, wonderful antique phone.
That's what they called it.
So the brass needs a little polish, which is because it's been in the basement. But that's all this thing's going to do is make phone calls. But one of these means I can video call my parents. I can send emails, write text messages. You all know what this is. It allows for a multitude of different ways to connect people. I can buy things on the phone and then say it came, but it's not the right part, or it's not the right product, or your customer service stinks, or whatever. And all of that's happening through like a web form. You know, like I'm not even talking to a person, but I'm still communicating. There's all these different methods of connecting with people. And I'm not up here to preach technology. I'm up here to say, be careful that your prayer life doesn't look like this when God's offering you this. And technology is not a matter. You don't even need a smartphone for real life necessarily. But I do want you to say, in my prayer life, I'm willing and open for God to just text me. That is just a short, quick thought at a certain moment. And I'm also willing to get one of those huge long emails, which probably most of us aren't crazy to get super long emails these days. But it's a matter of spiritually saying, I'd let God talk to me however he wants. I would live my life, and even if I'm driving, or even if I'm surrounded by a crowd of people, or even if I'm all alone and it's the middle of the night, I just might hear God talk in this moment. I just might, he might surprise me, it might be weird, it might be different or uncomfortable, but he might talk to me. There's a person named Gary Thomas. He was a professor at the seminary that I went to. I never knew him personally, but I came across one of his books, and he studied the scriptures, and he also looked at people's experiences, and he realized that in the scriptures, there's nine ways, in his estimation, there's nine sort of categories for connection with God. So I'm sharing these with you, giving him the credit, but I thought that the way he put them together was so much easier than what I've said so far about, well, this happened with David and that happened with Moses. He took the time to really put them into categories, and I think you'll see them here. It takes a few slides, but I'll go through them from naturalists down through the others. Naturalists is the word he came up with. This is people who, when they're outside, their heart awakens to God. There's something about being in the world God made that helps them connect with God. So that's what I put out there. The next one is sensates. Not a word I use all the time, so I'm glad he gave us a definition. These are people that hear majestic music, or they go in a church building or some other kind of space that has incredible architecture. There's outstanding art, or they even find that communion itself, the act of taking the bread and drinking, speaks to them. There's other people who are, he calls, traditionalists. For them, these would be people who like familiar patterns of worship. Liturgy might be an example. Some sort of routine or some sort of habit. They like singing, preaching. They like the structure. They like order in that. And it speaks to them to have familiar patterns of worship. An ascetic, you might think of this as a monk if you've heard that word before. This was people who sort of withdraw from a lot of relational engagement with other human beings. And they would practice silence. They would fast from food. They would meditate, like Tim mentioned earlier. Another one is activists. Activists are people, he says, feel most alive spiritually when they're in the midst of God's active work. This is people who just got to do something. And then they feel like God's meeting them while they're doing something. A caregiver is a person who would serve other people in practical ways, and while they're caregiving, they find themselves going, I hear God, I feel God, I sense God in my presence, and I'm connected with him more when I'm caregiving than when I'm not. Enthusiasts, these are people who don't want to just know scriptural concepts. They want to experience, they want to be moved. This is people who, you know, that, I mean, he says enthusiasts, experience, I suppose, is the key word. It's people who really want something to happen in their life. They want their five senses to be engaged in worship and in prayer. Contemplatives, he says, are God's lovers, meaning that they just deeply desire and find it precious to spend time with God. They could sit still before him and adore him and worship him and praise him, and they're just very contemplative. They could just sit by themselves and just appreciate so much who God is. They tend to have, experiences of God's love and loving him back. They're just very oriented around love and connection, and they would really just feel emotionally connected to God and adore him. Lastly, there's intellectuals. And this could be anyone. Intellectual is the word he uses, but we all have an intellect. And he says there's times when you learn something new with your mind, but it creates affection in your heart. That's how he describes it. So there's something about studying in the mind, and we learn something about God with our mind, but it stirs our heart to love him more. And it comes through the mind. So I invite you to think through all these kinds of moments we've talked about with Jesus praying in different places, David praying in different places, Elijah, Moses, all the people you think of. And I think you'll realize there's different ways to pray and different settings or different places to pray. There are solid core practices to prayer. We'll never stop needing to praise God. It's good every day to praise God. It's good every day to wake up and say, God, would you be leading my life today? There might be some people to meet or some things to do. These basic prayers are very effective. Confessing sin, I've got to do it every day. I suggest you probably do too. Thanking God all the time. But these other practices could be ones that you mix in. I want to quickly mention a few boundaries before we go. Just as your pastor, I say boundaries not because I don't trust you, but also because whenever we experiment, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable to try something new and think to ourselves, you know, what should I do or how should I go about this? So I wanted to wrap up with just some practical ways to do this, but to address fears or concerns you might have. The first one is I would suggest a boundary of curiosity, but not craziness. It can be tempting when we experiment with something or want to follow God in new ways to be afraid to do it because it might just be crazy. So that's why I'm saying have a boundary of curiosity, but not craziness. I read this week where a man thought God was saying to him, this is a true story, swim a great distance in the water to prove how much you trust me and how much you love me. And this was a man who was not good enough, I suppose, at swimming. And unfortunately, because he thought God was telling him to do it, he attempted a swim that was more than he could handle. And he did not survive that experience. And it's, you know, in the media, in the news, you know, that he's saying, God told me to do this thing and so on. And that's why I say have a boundary of curiosity, but not craziness. I know most of you pretty well, and I know that's a startling example and very uncomfortable to hear about, but it's a boundary there. You could be a little curious, but you know, say that you wanted to do fasting, for example. If you've never fasted in your life, start with a one-day fast, not a 10-day or a 40-day. If you've never, you know, I don't know. I'll just say this. Like Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. There's a huge storm. Jesus stills the storm. So it's great to have incredible faith in him. But he didn't always make the disciples do that over and over again. And they didn't rush into danger and just sort of half-heartedly, carelessly go off into a dangerous situation. So fasting is just the one that came to mind. But be curious, but set a reasonable limit. Take steps with it, not leaps. A second one is a boundary of community. Talk with someone who has prayer styles or prayer experiences that are different than yours. Somebody who seeks God in some of the ways that you don't naturally normally do. You've already competed across the room here with each other, so you know some people now. You've, you know, taunted them and accused them of breaking the rules and such. So you've broken the ice. You could probably go up to them after the service and say, what are some of the greatest moments you've had in prayer? Or how do you connect with God sometimes? Have a little bit of a conversation. And if they're the same as you, then that's great. You learned something. Or if they have a totally different way, they could help you. Because that's how we can help each other, is say, you know, I tried fasting, but here's why I don't do a 10-day fast first. Or I tried sitting outside and I got nowhere with it. You know, so like have those conversations and you might gain and learn from each other. Third boundary I'll mention is a boundary of frequency. If you start sitting beside the lake 25 days a month and give up the sort of traditional form of prayer to praise him, to worship him, to confess your sins and be thankful and so on, If you're by the lake 25 days a month and you just have your coffee and you're just sort of waiting on the Lord, but you're never praying in other ways, that's going to be a boundary that may not necessarily be real helpful to you. So I suggest flip it. Keep some sort of regular routine in place most of the time, but go out to the lake 3 or 4 times a month and see what happens, or once or twice a month and see what happens. It doesn't mean that you should totally flip things around. So pay attention to frequency. I have at times gone astray. That's why I'm mentioning this and thought, because I have a friend who's like, I connect with God by having coffee in the morning. Sit out in the backyard, have coffee in the morning. I was like, that's a different way to go. I'll give that a shot. Well, to be honest, I just sit in the backyard and have coffee. So a steady diet of sitting in the backyard and having coffee doesn't work for me. So that's why I don't do it 25 days a month. But I give God space and sometimes do it. Lastly, a boundary of scripture. I don't doubt you, but I do want to mention it here. As you go through the process of trying to hear God and connect with God in new ways, continue to let scripture be your guide. If you're hearing things in your head which you can't find a place for in the Bible, then lean on your boundary and community and say, hey, I think I heard this from God, but I don't know. Because we all hear things that may or may not be from God. And so we need to walk carefully, check ourselves against the scriptures, check ourselves with people who know the scriptures and say, I don't know if this is God or not. And some of it, like I said, could just be a crazy thing, but sometimes it's a fairly normal thing. And we want to hold ourselves accountable by the scriptures and say, okay, I had this wild experience, but let me make sure it was really God. Let me make sure I really heard from him. I'll close with this. Some of you may know John Coltrane, great jazz musician, played the saxophone, 50s, 60s. He had a life story, which is quite a story. You could read it on your own time. But he had lots of ups and downs and lots of crises and lots of bad choices. And at a key moment in his life, he found himself trusting God. At a key moment in life, something about his life caused him to reach out and entrust himself, really, to God. And it marked a turning point in his life. And he wrote a solo in jazz. It's a 4-part solo called A Love Supreme. You can find it on YouTube. You could buy the album if you want. It's called A Love Supreme, and it's jazz music. It's instrumental jazz music. So full disclosure, before you go out and buy the album, you got to really like jazz. But what he did is he wrote this song. It's called A Love Supreme. He plays the saxophone the entire time. He has drummers. And as he plays through it in a way that I can't replicate, he just says, A Love Supreme. A Love Supreme. And he's playing the saxophone, saying the words, A Love Supreme. And there was a particular concert where he played this show, and he did the entire song, A Love Supreme, from beginning to end. It was 33 minutes. He gets off the stage, and he says softly, not a big out loud comment, he says softly, Nunc Dimittis, which is the Latin at the time of Jesus, because a man named Simeon saw the child, the baby Jesus, held by his mother, and Simeon said, Nunc Dimittis, which means now dismiss your servant. And what he meant is, Simeon meant is, my life has reached a point where I could go to God right now. It could never get any better than this moment because I have seen the Messiah. I have seen the promise of God fulfilled in the birth of the Messiah. And I don't need anything else, right? In our modern vernacular, it'd be like, it's as good as it gets. I could exit right now. See you later. This is the best moment. And John Coltrane finishes this performance, and musically he felt like he did it so well from the inside, from the outside, with his fingers, with his breath. Just all of it came together in such a way that he stepped off and he said, Nunc Dimittis, now dismiss your servant. Because he felt like in that moment he connected with God so deeply and worshiped him so purely and prayed so sincerely that he was done. And that's a saxophone song, right? That's jazz music. So I suggest to you, even though you may not go home and play the saxophone, even that you may not, or you may, listen to jazz music or what have you, just recognize there's moments where, just like John Coltrane, God wants to help you connect with him, and you can get to the end of that and go, I just was in the presence of God, and I worshiped him and prayed and did all the other pieces, but I was so much united with God, so much in relationship with him. I hope you'll just hang on to that as a sense of what God might do, even through unexpected places. Let's pray. Jesus, we need and we have a good shepherd, and it's you. Every one of us is seeking you. And this morning we're knocking. We're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking for additional ways that we could pray. Maybe some new practices, but above all, we open our hearts to you and pray that in our own life in 2025 in Barnstable County, we'd find out that we were talking to you and you were talking to us and we were connecting, sometimes with words and sometimes with groans that are beyond words. And we recognize as humans that you are God and you have an incredible record of showing up, and it is seldom predictable and ordinary and boring. And why should it be? Because you are fantastic and incredible and wonderful. You're the creator. So I pray that we would have sensitive, open hearts this week. I pray that we would have an appropriate perspective on experimentation and also find ourselves with the community and the knowledge of your word to recognize you at work in our lives. To have those moments with you, whether it's in the middle of the night or with people or without people or in stress or in joy, whether we're dancing, whether other people are happy or not, to be able to say, I'm connecting with God right now in an undeniable and wonderful way. We ask for this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, to the glory of the Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.